I wanted to start here this morning with a very familiar verse, and I've preached from it before, but we're going to look at just one of the phrases in the thought here in Matthew 11 and 28 and 29 and 30. This is probably one of my favorite things that Jesus said. Matthew 11 and 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Have you ever thought about this yoke? What does it mean? I believe we understand what it means to come to Jesus, but there's more to it than just leaving where we are and coming to Him. What then? What comes after coming to Jesus? There's an entire lifetime. We don't want to just make our walk with the Lord a series of going back into sin and then coming, then going back and then coming. But the taking of the yoke is what constitutes the life that He wants us to live after we come to Him. So what does it mean? How do we do what He's saying here? And he says, don't only take His yoke, but learn. So there's a connection between this yoke and us increasing in learning and knowledge. Not only learn, but learn of Him. Not just learn about Him, but learn of Him. Learn from Him. He being the teacher. Learn with Him personally. So that's connected. All of that is connected with the yoke. If we don't take His yoke, then we can't learn. So we can't increase and go forward in our lives. Many people love the thought of the rest that He'd give them if He'll come to Him. And we come to Jesus and we think, oh, I'm going to lay down all my burdens and I'm going to get rest. And that's what living for Jesus is. But He didn't just say that. The life of the Christian life is this taking of the yoke and learning. And we find that it never ends, does it? The learning never ends. From till the day we die, we are to take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. Now, one thought about the yoke, it is definitely pointing to a piece of farm equipment that they used when using a team of oxen. The yoke was a wooden implement that was made to put two into. The yoke was put on two cattle, one on one neck and connecting that one to the other. And a lot of times I read that they would use a cow or an oxen that was already trained, and they would use it to train a younger one. And so they would put them both in the yoke, and the younger one would learn how to do everything from this one who already knew. The yoke is something that united the two together. And that's what this word means. It actually means not just something to burden us down. Jesus was saying, if you're heavily burdened and laden down and weary, you come to me and I'll give you rest. And then you take my yoke upon you. He's not saying you take another bondage or burden that's hard for you to bear. he was really contrasting his yoke with the impossible burden that the Pharisees were putting on the people. And we know that religion will do that today. Jesus is not interested in us just taking the burden of a religion, something that we cannot do. But he's interested in us uniting with him. And his yoke is what unites us. Now, this yoke is not just a cross, a burden to bear, but it is the disciplines of a life of service. I don't know if you could see the difference there. It is learning how to live with him. And we know that he is the supreme example. But we can't learn of him by just reading about him. We must take his yoke upon us and be in it together with him. And I'm thankful that we can trust him. Whatever he asks us to do, he's already done it. You know, when God asked Abraham to give up his only son, God wouldn't ask Abraham to do anything that he wouldn't do. God did it. God did give up his only son. His son was actually slain. When Jesus told the young ruler, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me, Jesus didn't ask the rich young ruler to do anything that he hadn't done. What had he done? He had given up all that he had and came to seek and save that which was lost. He gave up heaven and the splendor that he had, the glory. There's nothing that Jesus is going to ask us to do in service to him that he hasn't already done. And so when we take his yoke and we learn of him, it enables us, it gives us the grace and the strength because he's already been there. He knows. And so we learn of him. We learn of his experience. So that's a little thought about the yoke. Many times we draw back from the yoke. Everything about it looks good except for the disciplines of the Christian life. And many people are offended when they realize that the Lord is going to restrain them in some way, that he's going to ask them to act in a certain way. People don't want those restraints today, do they? They don't want to have someone to tell them, oh, don't speak in that way. Don't act in that way. You may not go that far in that relationship. These are the bounds that Scripture and that the Holy Spirit lays upon you. People don't want those boundaries, do they? Scripture says that the people of the world say, let us cast off his cords and cast away his cords from us. They don't want the restraints of the Lord. The restraints of the Lord, though, are those things that teach us, and we learn of his character from those things. Now, I want to go just a little bit further in this thought about learning of him. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the very last verse of the book of 2 Peter. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of times we read this verse and we think, okay, grow in grace. I think I understand that. But it also says, grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we do that? Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me. So when we take his yoke, we begin to grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we grow in grace. There was an interesting story that I read of Hannah Whittall Smith. She wrote the book, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life, way back in the late 1800s. And she was speaking of the experience and inviting people to come and enter the land of promise, the experience of the Holy Spirit, to receive the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts as an instant work. And one lady said to her, "Well, I believe in growing in grace," which she was actually saying to Hannah Smith, this experience of receiving the Holy Spirit as an instant thing, "I don't believe it that way." Well, Hannah Smith said, "Well," she said, "so you have been growing into grace for many years." And the lady said, "Yes." And she said, "Now tell me," she said, "are you closer to being more like the Lord than you were back then, or are you farther away?" And the woman hung her head, and she said, "I'm afraid I'll have to say I'm not anywhere closer to the Lord than I was back then." So some people get a wrong idea about these things, and they just think, God can't do an instant work on me. God can't, this is not how it is. I'm just kind of going to go along. But he said, "Take my yoke." He said for us to take something upon us, and then we begin to learn of him. We begin to grow in our knowledge of him. Now, what happens if you don't grow physically? If you have a child and you begin to notice that child was not growing, you begin to see this little girl, she just stayed 3 feet tall. And she got 8 and 10 and 11 and 12. Your heart would begin to sink, wouldn't it? You would begin to think, this baby's not growing. I wonder sometimes how it is with us. Well, God, in his word, we read about how that there were those that in the knowledge of the Lord should have been farther along than what they were. Remember that scripture in Hebrews, I believe it is. Maybe it's not Hebrews I'm thinking of. Let me see here. Yes, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Now, this kind of goes into the middle of an idea, and let me start with the beginning. When you and I are born again, we're born again as we spoke of last Sunday, and we're new children, we're new babies in Christ, right? Born again and new babes. Does the Lord expect us to stay babes? If the Lord would look on us and think, this child's not growing, he's at the same place where he was a year ago, 3 years ago. Just think about how that when you first came to the Lord, the things that you didn't know or understand. Were you to stay there? Were you always to be a baby? No. The Lord is interested in us taking his yoke and then learning and growing in grace and in his knowledge. This is his plan. It's abnormal spiritually and physically for there not to be any growth, there not to be any advance, there not to be any addition. We're to begin growing in knowledge of him. He said in verse 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers." Just think about it. Did you know that somewhere you're going to need to teach someone about the Lord? And not just, now you won't be their teacher. They each one have to learn individually from Jesus and of Jesus. But all of us, he's expecting us to mature so that we have a quality about us that portrays God to people. How God-like are we this morning? There's a verse I want to get to that in just a minute. He said, "When for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again." He goes on and says, "And you're become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have a situation here where people didn't grow. And time came that someone needed to learn from them. Someone needed them to share. Someone needed them to portray by their life. Maybe it was their child. Maybe this person was saved as a youth. Scripture says in Lamentations 3, it's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. And I want to point that out this morning, that as early as you can, become a new life in Jesus Christ. Give your heart to the Lord and be a new babe in Christ. But grow. Grow in that, because soon the time is going to come. You're not 13 anymore, but you're 27 or 28 or 30. And you've got little ones. They need someone to portray Christ to them. They need someone who knows, who has borne the yoke in their youth. I remember that the Lord, in my youth, the Lord told me something and shared something with me and said that the trials that you're having right now, they bear great importance to the life that you're going to have later. And I thought about that, and I tried to remember that what the Lord's bringing into my life now, it has to do with years later? Really? Yes, and now I'm in the 30 years later. And I look back to things that, responsibilities and lessons that I learned when I was a teenager. And it makes sense to me, that scripture that says, it's good that a man bears the yoke in his youth. It's good that as you grow as a young person, you also grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Because soon you come to a place where others are going to look to you. And he wants to put responsibility. He wants to call you. He wants you to minister. And I'm not talking about pulpit preaching. But there is all kinds of places and needs today in the world for people who know the Lord. To just be there for others who need to know the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? He said, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. We're not to remain babies. But by constantly bearing the yoke in our youth and as we grow, we develop character that is more and more like the Lord. Until when we get to where people need to know, is this right or wrong? Does God approve of this or not approve of this? There's something they can sense in our very lives that reproves them. Because by reason of use, that means by daily exercise, by maintenance, by keeping up our spiritual walk, we develop a character that helps us to discern the right hand and the left, the good and the evil. It takes time. It takes, how did the Lord put it? They that are on the good ground are they which, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. That's what Jesus said. So it takes time. Growing is a slow process, but he wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. He wants us to keep advancing and maintaining our spiritual lives, because we're going to have time in our... God's going to call. He's going to call and need people to fill in a gap. I think of how I've observed this in people in service and ministry, that God begins to develop Christian lives and give them certain trials and responsibilities. And years later, that's very useful to them in the place where God calls them to work. He prepares hearts. You think about Daniel when he was just a young man. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were just young, 17, 18, 21-year-olds. What was their first responsibility that came to them when they were carried away into Babylon? They were very responsible then to keep true to God. And then what was one of their first tests when they got there? What were they asked to do? God gave them something. He gave them a test. He gave them a yoke to bear. What was it? Remember? The king wanted them to do what? You guys, you want to tell me the answer? What did the king want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel to do? He wanted them to eat the meat that was given to idols, remember, and drink his wine. And what did they do? They had purposed in their hearts to bear the yoke of the Lord. That's really what it was. And they knew it was wrong, and so they purposed in their hearts they wouldn't defile themselves. These were just young, upper teenage men. They were just young men. But they bore the yoke in their youth. What was ahead for them? What if they hadn't passed that test? You see how important our little trials and tests are? The yoke of the Lord that He puts on us, the disciplines that He gives us in our lives, they're very important, the little ones, because by them we advance and we grow, and He prepares us for bigger things way back then. So what happened next to those boys that in their lives? What did the king do? Another time the king did something. He built something out in the plain. What was it? Remember what he built? A great big an idol. Remember? And what did he tell them? Everybody has to bow down. Now this is another test. Did they pass the test? They did, didn't they? They said, if you put us in the furnace of fire, still we won't bow down. And we believe our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't even deliver us, if we burn up, we're still not going to bow down. They passed that test. But what if they had caved whenever the king had said, I want you to eat my food? Would they have had the strength to say no to the image, the idol? I don't think so. And Daniel, what was Daniel given to do later when he was older? What did the king say? No one can pray to anyone but the king, right? Did Daniel go ahead and pray to his king, to his God, or did he pray to the king? He prayed to God, yes. He wouldn't have been able to do that if he hadn't built the discipline of the Lord, the yoke of the Lord into his life. But he, by careful exercising his senses to discern good and evil, by using that discernment time and time again, he became a very mature Christian, well, a child of God, who served and obeyed God, and who had knowledge of God. The character of God was in their lives. What the king said about Daniel was that he had an excellent spirit. How do you grow to excellence? By over and over and over choosing what is right and learning right from God himself. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And that's what our trials and tests, the yoke that he gives us, the disciplines, that's what they teach us. They teach us right from God to us. Why would we push that off and say, I don't want those restraints and boundaries in my life. I want to just do what I want to do. We will never learn right from his heart. Because that yoke, remember, it unites us with Jesus. He's in the other side with us. That's what the yoke means. It's something that connects us to Christ. And there's no other way to learn but that those things that connect us right to his heart. And then we begin to do as he does. And we learn that. And we learn as he goes. And it becomes part of us then. So he said to grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. He talks about the promises that he's given us that we might be a partaker of his nature. That's very important. Because he doesn't want us to just keep the old corrupt nature and just constantly fight with us. But he wants us to become a partaker of his nature. And so then he says in verse 5 of 2 Peter 1, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, when you first came to Jesus, when he said, come unto me, all you that labor, when you first came, that was good. That was believing in him and trusting in him to save you. But you don't stay there. You need to add. Add to your faith. You believed in him. You trusted in him. Now it's time to stand up for him. That's what this word virtue means. Manliness. Character. It means to be militant. It means to be to have a firmness in your faith. Add that to your faith and not just, don't stay there. It wouldn't do for us to be, oh, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to stand for him, but not have any gentleness and kindness in our lives and love. He doesn't stop right here with virtue. He says, add to virtue knowledge. How do you add knowledge to your life? We've been speaking of the yoke and how God teaches us. But what does there need to be in us to get more knowledge of the Lord? In Proverbs, remember how he said that? Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 2. Where he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline. You see all these verbs? Receive, hide, incline. Incline your ear unto wisdom. It means to pay attention. This is how we add knowledge to our lives. We begin to crave it. We begin to seek for it. Incline your ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. How many times have you gone to the Lord and instead of just asking for temporal things, Lord, bless me today, protect me, help me at work, give me strength, help me to pay the bills, supply our needs. Do you ever spend time crying after, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord, I'm crying after you. I want to know what's right. I want to know how to live. I want to know if I should do this in my life. Lord, how should I do here? Should I go there? Should I have this in my home? Should I wear this? Lord, teach me. Help me to understand. Help me to understand what they're preaching there at the chapel. Help me, Lord, to understand these verses. Cry after knowledge. Apply your heart to understanding. Lift up your voice for understanding. Seek her as silver. Oh my. There's a lot of us that do a lot to get financial gain. We work at it. We go to work every day. Work hours. What are we doing it for? So that we could have money to pay our bills and eat and do the things that we'd like to do and live in the kind of houses we want to live in. This is kind of the American way, isn't it? We seek after silver. We do. People, we do. But he says, if you would just seek after the knowledge of God, just like you seek after silver. Oh, how many of us are just so after a good bargain. We put energy into it. We get excited about it. We call here and we call there. We shop online. We compare all the reviews. Why don't we get after God like that? Why don't we look and say, I want the most excellent thing. Lord, I'm not contented to just be on the fence and just kind of live okay. But I want to know, is this right? Is this with what you would want me to do? Lord, what about this attitude? I am bothered about my attitude. Lord, help me to know, how do I treat this person? Do I need to go back and fix some things with this person? Lord, what is my duty here to this person? How do I help in this situation? Constantly asking the Lord, Lord, show me what to do. Help me, fill me with knowledge. Give me your light, Lord. If you'll shine your light, I'll walk in it, Lord. When we're looking and asking for knowledge, we make commitments. Lord, if you show me, I'll do it. If we don't make that kind of commitment, it's like coming to him but not taking his yoke. We can't learn of him unless we're willing to take his yoke. Don't ask the Lord something if you're not willing to do it, because there's a danger there. Satan will come and give you a deception. I've seen it happen. Lord, a person that the Lord is dealing with and showing them truth, and then they go and they say, I want to know what is right. They know what is right. And when they ask and say, I want to know what is right, but they're rejecting the yoke that God's given them, there will be, I've seen this happen so many times. Something else will come. Somebody will visit. They'll get some other kind of doctrine that will come that is totally opposite from the Word of God. And it'll take over their lives and they'll just go with it. I know what I'm speaking about here. It's a very sad thing to know what God wants you to do and to reject it and to ask for new knowledge. When God gives us light, let us walk in His light. What happens when we walk in God's light? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have an unbroken line of connection between us. Fellowship, that means agreeing with Him. That means uniting with Him, which is the yoke again. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we're yoked with Him. We're united with Him. We're fellowshipping with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we refuse to walk in light, then we begin to get marred up and clouded up by sin again. We don't want to do that. When God shines light, when He gives us knowledge, we have a commitment. I'll walk in that. That means to obey that. When the Lord, when it comes to your attention, you know what? This is wrong. I've been doing this for years, and this is wrong. The Lord doesn't want me to talk like this. The Lord wants us to make some changes. That's taking His yoke. That's being united with Him. And we're learning of His character. And what happens when we begin to adjust our character to His, then people begin to come and they begin to be drawn to Christ that's in us. And we'll be able to win souls. But how can we win souls if our lives are not a picture of Him? We will turn people away from Him. We will be a discouragement to those who are trying to live for Him, our children. Many times children are discouraged by the unchristlike actions of their parents. Sad to say. And a lot of times people say, why are so many church people's children going away? Now, this isn't the rule. It's not the way that it always was. I know people who are very godlike in their actions, whose children made their own choice. And you can't just whip yourself and say, well, I must have always been unchristlike because my children don't want to live this way. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I do know other children who have been turned off by the unchristlike lives of their parents, discouraged to the point of not trying anymore. That being said, we still need to seek for the Lord for knowledge, because we're always learning. We'll never get to the point where we know it all. Where were we? We were with 2 Peter chapter 1. He goes on and he says, add to knowledge temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is self-control. That means I learn to be guided and restrained by what God has taught me inside myself. And I don't need the policeman to ride with me and tell me everything that I should do in my car. Now, that's just an illustration. But what that means is I can drive in my car, and this is still an illustration here. I'm not just talking about driving. I'm talking about living life. But the point that I'm making, using a policeman sitting beside you and telling you everything, you get to where you can drive down the road and you know the boundaries and you know the restraints, and you do them because they're a part of you, right? You're not constantly having a thought of and a desire to break the law. That's called self-control. You are controlled from within. You don't need an outward restraint. You understand that difference? When we are yoked with Christ, we learn of Him. The controls that are in our lives then, because we learn of Him, they are within us. We don't need a parent to say, no, you don't say those kind of words, or no, you don't, you need to tell the truth. When we begin to learn of Christ, truth comes into us. There is a control that stops us and says to us, you're embellishing your story. It didn't really happen that way. But this is, always speak the truth, the real truth. This is how long it was, and this is how tall it was, and this is what happened. Instead of the old person in us wanted to have a spectacular story and make people go, wow. But inside of us now, learning from Christ, Christ says, tell the truth. So He begins to put truth in us, and that's self-control. Controlled by what's within, not what's without. He said, add that to your knowledge. If you know a whole lot about God, but inside of you, it's all out of control. What does that speak about to other people, about God? It turns them off, doesn't it? He says, add to temperance, patience. Patience in the scripture is cheerful endurance. And those two words together say a lot to me. Not just toughen up and bearing something and just gritting your teeth and getting through. But He said, this is what it, in the Greek, the word patience means cheerful endurance. There's something divine about that, isn't there? That's not human. We must seek from the Master Himself, how did you endure? How did you put up with those 12 disciples? How did you deal with the people who were wicked and had the spirits and who thronged around you? How did you endure the cross? The Lord, He endured because He saw the joy that was set before Him. All of those secrets of our Savior, He's the only one that can impart those to us. We must be yoked with Him. He can give us those secrets of how to endure with cheerfulness. And how does He do that? How has patience worked in our lives? What works patience? Tribulation works patience. What else? There's another thing that works patience. My brethren, let's see. Count it all joy. How does He say that there? Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the what? The trying of your faith works patience. Oh, how are we going to add patience to our life? How are we even going to cry after patience when we know that it means tribulation and trying of our faith? What is tribulation? Tribulation is pressure. That's what that word means in the scripture. When we have pressure in our lives, it works gentle, cheerful endurance. Supposed to. Now, many times, that's where the rub is. That's where we have failure, is just consecrating to go through the pressure and the trial. Sometimes we get real contrary. I don't want to be happy in this. I don't want to be joyful in this. Take His yoke. At that time, say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to kneel here before You until I let go of all my wants And I want to yield to you and surrender to you in this trial. And I want you to make me cheerful. And the Lord will do it. The Lord will transform your character in times like that. He has the power to do it. We talked about fill me with your glory. The Lord has promised to give grace and glory. To me, glory is something more than just coping. Glory is when God makes you cheerful in your tribulation. There's just something more than human there. We cannot do this on our own. We must have the presence of the Lord. And just, I don't know how to tell you that this happens. He causes it, as Dan said a while ago. He causes us to do the right thing when we've begged him and said, I surrender and give you myself in this trial. Work in me, Lord. I'm so thankful. In a way, then, these tribulations and trials are our dearest friends. They work for us. They're really our servants. They work for us. They work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They change our characters into that which is more like Christ. He sends them to do this. So take his yoke. Take his disciplines. Take his tribulation. Take his trial. Look at this one. Philippians chapter 3. He tells of his surrender to endure all the loss of all things so that he can have this excellency of Jesus Christ in his life. Verse 9, and be found in him. I want to be found in him, don't you? Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, believing in and trusting in and depending on him. That's where my righteousness is going to come. That righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In Ephesians 3, he says something about that power. He says that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He wants us to have that strength, that power inside. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Another scripture from Ephesians 1. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be open, that you would be enlightened, that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. And he said, it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead. There was an earthquake. The rocks exploded. And it came out of the ground. That was great power. It wasn't an outward. It was the power of Jesus Christ himself. He does not change when he gets inside us. When he is in us, there is a great power there. And that's what grace is. Grace is the ability to do what you could not do yourself. It is grow in that. Peter said, grow in grace. Grow in that power, that ability. Don't stay down under the sins and temptations of the past, but grow in that power. I know, and I'm constantly saying, Lord, you can do so much more than this. I want to know and experience your power. So he said here that I may know him. This is Philippians 3. I know I've been going all over, but this is Philippians 3 and 9. And 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh my, is this what is involved in knowing Jesus Christ? Yes. We don't really know him unless we fellowship with his sufferings. He said, if any man will come up after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, if you don't do that, you cannot be my disciple. Disciples comes from the same root word as discipline, having to do with the yoke again. If we don't take his yoke, we cannot learn from him. We can't be his disciple. And we can't even follow him. We can't go to glory with him. This that people try to avoid at all costs is our only route. We must say to the Lord, Lord, I want to go to heaven, and I want you to get me there at all costs. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? So he says here, that I may know him. Let's go back to 2 Peter 1 and keep going on that add to your faith list. We just have a few more things here. Add to patience godliness. Now, I mentioned that a little bit ago. This word godliness, it means God-likeness. It means somebody looking at you and beginning to understand what God is. Are we growing more like God? That's what he's saying. Add this to your faith. Add godliness. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Can we be more like God tomorrow than we have been today? I believe we can. How is God? What is he? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we can look at Jesus. How did he deal with people? Did he always tell the truth? Was he kind? Was he kind? Jesus said, he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. So he said, you do that. You give. And you be kind, then you'll be the children of your Father. That's what he said. You'll be just like your Father. You know, a lot of times when you see a little boy, a lot of times I say this when he's acting out. They say, oh, look at that. He's just like his daddy. Or the mother may say that. And then the daddy will say, no, he's just like his mother. But when Jesus said, you be kind so that you may be called the children of your Father. Oh, he's just like his daddy. We want people to look at us and say, you're just like your Father in heaven. Is that too tall of an order? Some people say, oh, that's being a saint. We can't be saints here on earth. The Bible calls people saints. They were holy people. Saints are holy people. He said that you've been called to holiness, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Scripture calls us to be saints. So, yes, it's a tall order. But I'm talking to you about being in the yoke with Christ. There is no other way to be a saint than to be learning of him. And it takes the yoke. So this morning, this is scriptures the Lord has given to us. Let's take heed to the scripture, not because it's said here or from this person, but because it is God's word. He said, add to godliness, brotherly kindness. What good is there in religion and trying to be holy and have a set of beliefs, self-control, rigid and stalwart and militant in our faith if we're not kind? It's all naught, isn't it? That's what in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, if I give everything I have to the poor, I'm just the best missionary ever, and I just self-sacrifice and I have faith, I can just do miracles. But he said, if I don't have charity, it profits me nothing. So all of these things really profit us nothing if we don't continue and add brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness charity. It's the bottom line. The love of God and kindness in our hearts. Love for one another. What kind of a church is it that ministers to the world and missionaries, but they all can't get along? That's a sad tale. The Lord wants us to love one another with a pure heart, fervently, warm, earnest, genuine love for each other. If we don't have that, but we have religion, that is the biggest turnoff. And we'll never be able to win souls, which is what we're here to do. Lord, help us. He said here, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again. grow in grace. Learn of me, he said. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let it be our aim and our heart's desire, and that we seek after and cry after it with all of our hearts, to know him and to learn of him. Amen.